Exactly.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
What's up, Atlanta? This is the Mouths of the South podcast coming to you live from the spacious 680 studios. Our new little home away from home when it comes to recording a podcast. Josh Bagriansky, Jay Riddle. How's it going, guys?
It's going.
It's going, huh?
That's
not so bad. I've heard worse. Yeah, hey, what a weekend, though.
I wish I had a train
Across the board, though, right? I mean, between Atlanta United, the Falcons, the craziness that happened in soccer all across the world.
Yeah.
I think
it was a wild weekend.
I think what would have been great is if I just had a giant train whistle and you asked me how it went and I just blew that giant train whistle.
You just want more train whistle.
I just want more train whistle.
It would be a little noisy. Awesome.
You got a fever.
It comes in. I looked up. At first I was like, is that speakers? But it almost looked like it came out of a vent with giant, like an organ. You know how it makes the sound?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it legit was steam coming out of the thing way behind the supporter section.
Yeah, no question. I loved that. I thought that really added to the atmosphere.
That was the thing I think we talked about early in the season about how kind of like a traditional thing that we wanted for Atlanta United. We wanted a train whistle. We didn't want it to be hockey.
Right.
Which
is very hockey-ish.
I'm not going to lie. It sounded a little hockey-ish when it first happened, but I don't care.
I almost threw waffles on the pitch. I almost started throwing things.
What do you throw in hockey when it's after a hat trick? Squid?
It's different in every place.
The Red Wings, that used to be our thing. That was an old Detroit Red Wings tradition. For every goal, they threw octopi.
And then you got the carp in
I don't watch
Nashville.
Hockey, right? I don't watch hockey.
Right.
There's different things. So I was just saying, waffles are flimsy. They don't hurt anybody. If you get hit with a waffle, you're fine.
And they're delicious, too.
They're easy to pick up.
Yeah.
And they're reusable.
5-second rule.
Yeah.
It's been full effect if you get hit with a waffle.
So I think that'd be a great. And plus, you can get chicken strips over like for $3. So you could throw chicken with it.
Apparently,
chicken and waffles.
Apparently, catfish in the playoffs last year. I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
Was that in hockey?
That was
I don't watch hockey.
This past playoffs with the hockey. Yeah.
I don't watch hockey.
Some guy snuck a catfish into
Pittsburgh. Right. Because that was a big thing in
the
NHL
was
stopping people from bringing seafood into the arena. Because
it stinks and it gets everywhere. I think that's the main reason.
Hockey fans are weird. Anyways.
There are hockey fans?
They exist, yeah. Come on. We're not here to trash on the NHL. We're here to trash on Orlando.
Orlando is not the South.
There's trashing number one.
Listen, there are a few of us yesterday for like about 8 hours. That dealt with one Twitter follower. We're not going to name the specific Twitter follower because we don't want you guys all to go out and, as much as we ask you not to,
it doesn't matter.
Anyway.
He's blocked every Atlanta United fan on Twitter.
This is hilarious.
He kind of had it out for me and everyone that happened to follow the thread of tweets. Look, Orlando City fans, if you happen to be listening, which there may be one,
and you're sitting down,
you need to get more original with your insults.
We don't sit down.
You need to get more original. I know that we kind of latch on to the whole Disney FC thing.
Which I haven't seen many Disney FC memes in the last week comparatively. No. I think we've tempered it down.
It's going away.
Yeah. But it's just easy when they, when they're underneath us being Georgia, them being Florida, it's, easy to take a crap on what's below,
Yeah, they're
below you on the table.
Below
too,
the line,
exactly.
Below the Georgia line, below the playoff line.
Figuratively and literally.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you're struggling on the pitch, you got to really work on
your insult game. As the Tifo said.
Exactly.
In the bad place.
Exactly. Oh, go ahead.
The TIFO itself. I mean, I saw it, but I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't get the reference. I glanced at it. I thought it was cool, and then I looked away.
So,
for me and the people that didn't know, for the older generation.
Right.
like Josh.
I was waiting for that.
Because you're 40 now, right?
Yeah, right. Come on. I'm not even responding to that. Go on, Jay.
So I'm actually blanking right now. It is based off of a television series. I'm so going to get flamed for this.
That's all right. Go ahead.
But it is based off a television series, much like the last TIFO was based off of Atlanta, the show.
Oh, it was oh man, what kid? Stranger Things?
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
It was Stranger Things.
Yeah. That's what I've been thinking this whole time, but I was just, for some reason, Lil Bird was like, I'm not 100% sure on that anymore. So, yeah.
Actually,
so
I have no idea now.
But
I don't know. Someone help us out.
It was Stranger Things
on Netflix. We're here now.
That was a...
It was well done.
It was well done. It was good. I think it was one that was befitting of the pulley system because it was more dramatic because it was the way it was laid out. Mm-hmm. You know, you get us, all right, we got that, right? We're rocking it. And then slowly just that ugly looking monster thing.
Yeah. No, I like the way it was unveiled. Yeah. Of course. And it had to go after Orlando after the last home match went with the, which I really liked, the Bobby Dodd Waffle House Tifo. You had to.
Right.
This was our last chance to get a dig in at those guys.
And the fun thing, too, is maybe it's a little geekish or there's a better word for it, but you know, there are callbacks. It was more obvious with the show Atlanta, right? But it's obviously about Atlanta. But then you have this one, which some people may not know that it was filmed outside of Atlanta. So it's got Georgia.
What, Stranger Things?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it has a callback to Atlanta.
Everything's filmed out of Atlanta now.
Yeah.
So if you're like just perusing around Twitter and happen to see Orlando City fans, I mean, just be fair to them. Be you know, they're struggling right now. They're in the bad place.
It's very.
They're in the bad place.
I feel really bad because I was trying to count, you know, purple shirts, and I counted maybe 20 or so, and then it's just too far away from the supporter section to really see accurately. And I did see one by the escalators, and he was just having a blast just filming the mob, right? And then he had another one standing in the main gallery when you walk in the terminal and you first walk in that big open space. And I had my Florida Ain't the South 2-pole for his third match. I didn't get to take it to Orlando. But I actually went and walked over to him because he was taking pictures. He wasn't paying attention. So I walked over to him and like just stood there until he turned around. Like with it like 5 feet above his head, just trolling him. And so he turned around and he had a good laugh about it, right? As you're supposed to, normal
See,
reaction.
That's the good. That's the proper soccer fan
reaction. That's what happens. Regardless of
it was the little baby in the woman's arms I didn't see in front of him who thought I was like, because I had my scarf over my face. It's like this monster coming to get him. The baby just lost
any other scenario, you look like a straight up burglar. You look like you're about to rob a bank.
And so I fled like a burglar. I just fled. I just was like, oh my God, no. But it made me feel better that the mother was kind of laughing. Like, this is hysterical.
I'm glad you could clarify that story because you were showing me your pre-show notes and it just said, I scared a baby.
Is that?
And I didn't really know what you were doing.
Is that on the list of how to be an ultra?
Scared
to scare a small infant? Does that make me less plastic? No.
Oh yeah, and I'm sort of very intimidated by you too. Yeah, you showed
less
that
plastic
baby.
For sure.
That baby had it coming, all right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, right.
How dare they stand there?
Yeah, ridiculous.
In the stadium,
ridiculousness. Oh, there weren't a ton of Orlando fans there, but again, we have fun with this rivalry. The vast majority. When I went down to Orlando, the vast majority of the interactions I had were very friendly. Obviously, I didn't walk into the supporters section, which I think you'd
probably
see a
smart.
Different result than if you walked into ours.
Well, somebody did do that, and it didn't end up so well for them.
Right. Let me ask you something. As because you're a fan through and through. Mm. I'm more the media guy because I sit in the press box like a.
He just eats free food.
In your plastic box.
You're a fan too. Okay, so let me ask you this.
But he's cooler fan than me.
After the game. And I don't know if you saw this on the field from where you guys were sitting, but after the game, Martinez and Dwyer
exchanged
shirts.
Yeah.
As fans, as supporters of Atlanta United who otherwise hate Orlando City and its fans.
Right.
For the most part, except for the nice ones. Your thoughts?
So I think Joseph just right there said this is not a rivalry. That's what that means. You don't exchange shirts with your rivals. So it's funny because I think there is definitely a fan rivalry going on. But on the pitch, it's clear to me that even though we've heard a couple players tout the line, I think Russell says he feels it's kind of like a rivalry. I think the majority of the players just don't feel that way. There hasn't been enough history created
right.
yet.
I mean, that's all it is.
But it's still a rivalry. It may not be a 100% tested organic rivalry, but it's yeah. still a rivalry nonetheless. And it's a rivalry to the point where obviously Orlando fans still have to, try to troll us on Twitter.
Sure.
And then if they don't like what we come back with, they block us.
They gotta justify some kind of hatred towards us. Given the situation.
I really don't have a problem with it. I mean, I just think it's kind of a traditional thing that's been done, and I'm a big belief in rivalries ending in terms of the players on the field, that once the final whistle is blown, all of that goes away.
It was definitely that. I mean, throughout the game, you saw them, after Martinez's second goal, I think Dwyer and Martinez almost went at it.
Yeah.
And I mean, within the lines, during the 90 minutes, they're going to go at it as hard as they can.
Yeah, and
whatever
that.
The consequences during those 90 minutes is.
Do you think Joseph would have exchanged shirts with his own defense?
Look, Martinez didn't talk to the press after the game. And
he's furious.
My first question would have been.
Do you think he wants an Anton Walk shirt after that?
My first question would have been. Do you feel like the back line let you down? I'm not going
to
single out.
I mean,
Anton
that
Walks,
might be why I didn't want to talk to the media, because he knew he was going to say something that he might regret.
Better
later.
Better that than saying something he regret, like you said. But
and I love that. I love that you've got a striker that scores three goals and is upset at the result. You know that he had couldn't have had a better individual day, and yet he's maybe the most upset guy after the match ends. And it just shows you what a competitor he is, aside from the personal success he has. He really wants this team to win. And I think that clearly shows.
It's not often that you see a guy complete a hat trick.
Yeah.
Grab the ball and put it down in the middle of at midfield and say, let's keep going. Come on.
I love
this.
This
is not enough. I love the attitude. I love the personality. I love the enthusiasm. I love that. I mean, I feel like he alone, was the reason this game ended the way it did. I think that he lifted his teammates to a level that otherwise they wouldn't have been able to get to, because it was such a tough game. Coming back three times, the way they had to come back.
Exactly.
I mean, it was – they scored the first goal in the 17th minute, I think?
Like that. 17,
and then we scored, and then they scored after that. Then they scored, then we score again. Then they score right after that. I mean,
they scored the 10th minute. It was very
hard.
Early.
It's 10th, hard to do that. It's hard to come back from getting scored on so quickly after you've equalized.
Yeah. No, and that's why I think you bring up a good point, Eric, because
that's
was a game
toughness.
Where a team needed to be picked up basically three times. I mean, the second and third goals in particular, those are just killers. I mean, to fight back and equalize two times. And to concede within minutes, that is something that can just knock the stuffing out of you. And for us to keep going and stay in control of the game, I thought really says a lot about the character. And I agree with you, Eric. I think it all starts with Martinez spearheading the attack.
Yeah, and it took 25 minutes for us to score that first equalizer.
Yeah, the first one.
That's a tough ask. You know, that's a lot of time going by. A lot of teams start to – and I mean, in the past, maybe we saw previously in previous games where – after 25 minutes, that's about the time where we start to get frustrated and start to lose. You know, that didn't happen at all in this case. But very, very disappointing that after the second goal, it only took 3.5-4 minutes for them to score. And after the first goal, and then after the second goal, the same thing.
Yeah.
Just 3 minutes afterwards.
Let's talk about those goals specifically, because there's a lot of blame, and whether you think it was warranted or not.
I blame that baby.
Being placed at the feet of Anton Walks. And I think I mentioned a tweet at some point over the weekend saying there's a lot of stuff that went wrong on all three of the goals. Even though they looked identical.
Broke it down on Twitter pretty
there was stuff
nicely.
There was a lot that went wrong on every single goal, from allowing such a rather easy cross.
Allowing the cross.
Lorenowitz, I think on the second one, it's too easy. It's too easy a cross to get in. He doesn't do a good enough job. I'm not saying he's bad, but he doesn't do a good enough job of defending that cross.
You mean marking?
On the second one,
That was the first goal. It gets over Lorenowitz's head and falls.
I'm talking about the second one. The second one, he's marking. I forget who puts in the cross. I guess it's Dwyer.
Yeah.
He's marking Dwyer, or whoever's putting the cross. Sorry, I haven't watched it again, but and the marquee or the defending's just not good enough. There's blame to go around everywhere.
The second goal, I thought Assad. I mean, we can go into it a little more in depth, but again, you allow the cross in. Guzan makes an error, and then Walks. You know, Dwyer gets around him at the back post, and I know we're going to talk about Walks. I thought putting the blame on him was, and I love that he took responsibility publicly.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit unfair because he was being asked by far the most was asked of him going both ways of any player on the pitch. He was sliding in at center half to defend those crosses, and then he was bombing down the right side and attacking alongside Vijalba. He's basically asked to play two positions. And one thing you mentioned, Eric, that Tata said after the game was that he basically took responsibility for the defensive errors because he was putting those defenders, in particular Walks, in a position they'd never been before.
Yeah.
When he first said that, I thought he was just kind of covering for Walks for two reasons. First of all, when I watched the game the first time, I thought it was a back four because
I think we've all read the quote by now. Tata Martino basically said, the goals were my fault. We played a back three. He said
they never played together.
Never played together before. McCann wasn't a true left back. I'm not saying he's lying. I think he's doing more covering than anything else for Anton Walks. Because I don't think to me, there was no difference between the way McCann, other than the fact that they're two different, they're obviously two different players, but in terms of the tactics behind what Tata Martino wants a left back to do, that didn't look very different from what Garza already does.
It sounds like a manager who knows his player, and as we saw in the tweet, potentially a player is hard on himself and is young, 20 years old. I think we forget how young he is. I do. And this is somebody that is although I don't think he shows it on the practice pitch, I think this is somebody that understands his players. He is not maybe your Jurgen Klopp man manager, back slapping, hugging, but he he's more analytical. A man of few words, but when he does speak, he has put forethought into those words. Those are not just him talking.
And look, I think that was the right thing to do, taking or at least trying to share some of that blame. Because I mean, look, you look at the options he had, and look, Bobby Boswell. If he plays at any point during the year, I'll be shocked. The only way he plays is if Atlanta United has kind of locked up the playoff spot or whatever playoff spot they end up with, and they just want to rest guys. Because, look, he hasn't been on the team long enough to adapt to the system, to know what to do as a center back in that system, to mirror the things that Perez and Parker's do on a regular basis. He just hasn't been here long enough. If he's here, he's going to end up being a depth guy that plays to give guys like Perez and Parker's a rest later in the season, or he's playing because someone got injured and we're in serious trouble. At that point, look, if Bobby Boswell was playing, unless it's for rest, we're in trouble. I'm sorry, that's the truth of it.
I don't think it's a question. I don't think anybody's questioning. Well, maybe there are people questioning why Bobby Boswell hasn't played, but I think at the end of the day, it's what you said. It's going to come down to not if, but when. When is that key place that Tata feels comfortable, whether it's mathematically or in his head? Like he said before Saturday, he wanted 9 points to feel comfortable that they've locked in the playoff spot. Now they need just 8 going forward. If they hit that magic number, is that when we start seeing Boswell? Or is he confident enough in seeing what Joseph just did that he starts to tinker with it a little earlier? I don't think we'll see anything happen until after the Montreal game. Any changes?
My bigger point, I guess, from the whole Bobby, because a lot of people were calling for, you know, asking why Bobby Boswell wasn't in the starting lineup, or at least in the 18.
Chemistry,
considering,
baby.
Well, yeah, that. But considering what, and this is what I was getting back to, considering what Tata Martino really had at his disposal, without Leandro Gonzalez Perez, McCann was the best option, and I was kind of shocked at that.
Led to a goal this time.
And Tata, we trust at this point, right? Yeah. Because he seems to make the smart decisions when it comes to, look, we might second guess.
We were asking, why is he putting McCann instead of Kratz at DC, you know? I mean,
I mean, look, just putting McCann at what we call left back, whatever position he was playing, that to me, he had confidence in him to do what he had to do, and he did. He performed. He did well. I think he was cut off out of position a couple times, and
it's going to happen.
I think those couple times
situation. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but defensively, he was. I think one of the main reasons Atlanta United allowed those crosses so easily. There were a couple instances where McCann is, and not saying I think it's a familiarity issue with McCann playing left back. And I mean, I don't blame him because he hasn't been playing that all season. He's played left back, I think he said once or twice in England.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah. I'm not killing him for it. If anyone, I'm going to criticize Tata Martino for putting him in a position like that. But at the same time, look what he did moving forward. He was always in space. He
put in a beautiful cross for a goal.
He's the best crosser on this team from that left side.
That's what I'm starting to see. The last two games, especially.
He was fantastic.
He should have had one that someone should have put their head on, even on Wednesday. So
he does whip in a great ball. I think he's kind of like the defensive version of Julian Gressel off the bench, and that Gressel's a guy that you can slide in a lot of positions, and he can do the job going forward when you want to throw a curveball. McCann's a guy that you can bring in to shore up the back line. You can bring him to spell Greg Garza, as we saw against New England when he came in at halftime. So I think, to me, we're seeing the value and the depth of a lot of the players on this team, particularly during the stretch where you have to rotate,
too.
The versatility. And certainly now we recognize McCann as a guy. We always knew he's a guy that you can bring in as a defensive midfield and shore up the middle of the pitch. Now we're seeing a guy that can also slide in at a left back position, or maybe even a left mid position if you're just trying to pack it in and defend it towards the end of a match. So I think that he's proven what his role is going forward, coming off the bench. And again, it's good to have a guy that can stick into a lot of positions in a pinch like that.
Not only that, thankfully, without Eric's help whatsoever, Lorenowitz got no yellow card.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
So I think.
What do you mean without my help whatsoever?
You're like, Eric gets yellow card.
Yellow
stuck
card.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get him. And I'm like, what are you doing? Jesus.
We need him
so badly. So even though
if he got a yellow card in this game,
no, he didn't. So
no, if he did,
if he did, he was going to be suspended.
No, I get that. I knew that. But I mean, when did I say that? That I wouldn't care.
You were like, yes, you did. We're going to play back the table Wednesday.
We're going to go back.
You were so. You were like, just. Forget it.
Just go hit someone.
If you get a yellow, whatever.
Well,
you know.
Because I knew we were going to get Perez back for the next game. So
I don't know.
We're going to have one of the other.
The team played, I actually thought we played very well going forward, but it was very different with Gressel into the middle and Lorenzo playing at center back. Because Gressel going forward, I thought, was really great. I mean, and Carmona was able to slide into the CDM role that Lorenzo had, but that there was less protection for the back four.
Well, because Carmona gets pulled into that.
It's just his natural style of play.
That whole play-by-play.
To get forward. And
he's used to Lorenowitz, being behind him.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's a lot more space now.
Yeah, so, and you could see
so,
that.
So there's a lot more time. Orlando had a lot more time on the ball when they did get on the counter.
No question.
And they would get to the wing. McCann's just recovering. Sometimes Assad's ball watching. As well, and they're just giving them that space, which ordinarily you're like, listen, this is their first cross or whatever, just let them take it. We got three guys in the back with one defender,
right?
And they just put the ball right on Dwyer's face and Kyle's face,
and that was their game plan. I mean, you could see it. They came out in an attacking way, and this is the way Orlando attacks, I guess, is just to throw balls into the box towards your two number nines, and Dwyer. And then when they'd get behind, you'd see them sit and then get back the second that Atlanta scored, back on the attack, throwing balls into the box again.
If Walks doesn't make two defensive mistakes and you can put blame. I mean, again, it's not just him. You can put blame on Guzan. You can put blame on.
Yeah, he went out to punch the ball. I think that threw Walks off.
Honestly, the second goal, he's the least to blame.
Because he's thinking Guzan's body's coming out of the corner. Even if it's just out of the corner of your eye, it's going to screw you up.
The third one as well, because I think he could have come out and at the very least punched the ball or done
something.
That's what I'm
saying. Yeah.
The second one, he comes out too early. But I think at that point, Walks still needs to try to defend that a little better.
He should do better. And also, don't forget on that play, Yamil Assad is sleeping and allows the cross to come into the box.
It's basically a free cross, right? That's where the McCann issue, because he's running to
McCann got pulled
inside, pulled into that center back.
Dude, we were dishing out free cross coupons for the end of the game. We were just like, you get one, you get one.
Honestly, that's the one. I mean, the one of the three games where the width of the field has kind of killed us, but
It's a double edged sword,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. They knew how to utilize
it.
Someone said, "Oh man, this is hilarious." Someone, and I think you brought it up before the show. Someone asked. I guess someone asked if Christ
did
that on
purpose. Did Christ call up the
did he game plan
Ben
for
Olsen
that?
Raccoon Witch and sell his witchcraft. Soul for a secret strategy of back post header strategy?
Secret. It's a secret. The secret back post header strategy.
Get out of my face with that. If this man was that genius, then he would not be missing the playoffs
the Raccoon
for
Witch
X
has
number
no time
of years.
For
they
Orlando.
Wouldn't be asking.
Yeah.
They would.
Please.
They wouldn't have a hashtag Christ out in Orlando.
Give me a break.
If he knew how to plan.
Suddenly Dwyer, who's the shortest forward, you know, is going to be. Well, he's how short is he? Is he 5'9"?
He's not diminutive, but
he's Parkhurst height. But either way, like, yo, this is the strategy. We're going to hit it at Dwyer's head on the back post every time.
Go home.
Now go. Give me a break.
It's frustrating. I agree. Yeah, I mean, that was clearly their plan. One thing that was interesting to me, the New England game was obviously a wash, but Dallas kind of tried to do that too, particularly in the first half. They started to create opportunities crossing the ball in. So maybe we are seeing that that's going to be what teams try to do, is ask questions of the Atlanta center half.
When you remove all other options, they're going to – I mean, it's about the effectiveness of of that cross. But you still have to pressure. And we pressured Dallas in our end of the pitch.
Right.
We didn't allow them to get comfortable and set the ball where you're literally rolling the ball with your foot, stopping it.
And again,
standing there and then kicking it in,
that's a dead ball opportunity.
It is.
This is where McCann at left back kind of irked me, because
he does like to stop it and hit
on,
it.
It's on his side every single time.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In the first half and the second half, all the crosses are on his side.
Yes.
Yeah, they're on his side.
And not only that, Orlando.
I'm not saying he's to blame for the goals. I'm solely to blame. I'm just saying his unfamiliarity with the position or with the positioning of that position.
And Kyle Lahren may have played a role into this. Well, Kyle Lahren's just taller than Walks, and that ball was just perfect. But either way, you know, we talked about it. He's no speed demon, right? I mean, and if he does get back, I feel like he's waiting for help.
Did you say Kyle Walks?
I mean, did I? I don't know.
Did he?
Kyle?
You're the one that merges
his
names
together.
What is
it about Walks that we got? We get his name wrong.
I said Kyle Lahren behind Walks, but I don't think
maybe that's it. Maybe that's what I heard.
Let's not get into that again. Someone lost 5 minutes from the last podcast talking about that.
We're good at that. Yeah.
Someone will go back and listen. It's okay.
But either way, I'm comfortable with – I'd rather take McCann's – I guess McCann's offensive abilities now that we're seeing outweigh – what I've seen in the back, and this is not like he's going to be playing left back full time.
No, I mean, he's someone you slide in there, and I think one of the reasons Tata puts him there over an Ambrose or Bloom is healthy now. I know he's disappeared. I read that he was healthy. It's because McCann, as a bigger guy, the other two guys are really wing, like Ambrose flies forward. We've seen him make big defensive errors. McCann is a guy that's just a little more steady when he's back there. The problem is he's slow. You know, he's a natural number six, so he just doesn't cover.
And we don't know how they can cross.
We don't know. He just doesn't cover as much ground as quickly. And one of the players I was really disappointed in this match, although I thought it was fantastic attacking that I mentioned earlier, was Yamil Assad, who I thought was consistently not back helping McCann in 2v1 situations, which you know you're going to get into all the time with an outside back that's not as fast or as good on the ball.
And
as
I wonder
Greg Garza.
If that's the third game in the week. Coming into
absolutely.
Play.
Absolutely.
Because I definitely think Walks was feeling it.
Well,
yeah.
Let me go first.
Yeah.
Lights just went off. I'll be back.
Good witch.
But before I go, here's the thing. Tata said in the back three, whatever it was.
It was like a three and a half.
It was out of necessity, really.
Sure.
I mean, it was out of necessity. We can all kind of accept
100%
that.
100% agree.
Had he done something like this in the playoffs, in like a one-game scenario, I'd be upset.
Ooh,
I'd be upset if in a game like
we're healthy or we're in a similar situation in terms of personnel.
Even in a similar situation, I would rather have a natural left back
and just stay defensive there
and have the back four with the two.
So you lose the weapon on the left side.
No. I'll do the same things you've always done, but put something that's more of a left back and not someone.
But you're not going to get the crosses. Is what we're saying. You can't get more defensive ability and then also more offensive ability.
We have ways around not being able to cross the ball in from the left side. We have ways around that.
It was like 40-some percent.
Yeah, we went down on the right side.
We have a solution for not being able to bomb our left back down the left side. We have solutions for that.
Yeah, we put Guzan in as a left wing back.
Yeah, that's Kuzan.
Problem solved.
It's an interesting take. Boswell can go in goal. I think it's all contextual with the left back. I think what we saw from Mikey Ambrose this season, I've liked him off the bench. I mean, we've even seen him sub in as an outside winger. I just don't trust him for 90 minutes to do the defensive job needed on that side. And I think that's the reason we saw McCann in the first place was because Tata wanted a better 1v1 defender on that wing. That being said, you sacrifice not everything, but a good deal going forward, like Eric says, with a guy like McCann. That just the type of player he is not going to cover as
at
much ground.
At the end of the day, I just don't think we're going to see these guys. I think it's clear now. We know we're not going to see these guys. We're not going to see Ambrose. We're not going to see Bloom unless something happens to McCann now.
Right.
Bobby Boswell may be an option after Montreal. But other than that, you know, Tata's very straightforward. I'm going to continue to play the same team when I can, unless there's injuries or suspensions, until we're comfortably locked into a playoff position.
I think it was just a weird... Look, considering the fact that it was a weird back line, it was an unfamiliar back line, 3-4, same as always, I don't care what you call it. It was a unique situation, considering they came away with the draw, considering they played as well as they did, considering the only way Orlando scored is because one player... Well, not just one, but it seemingly looked as if one player just messed up defending twice. Who I'm not going to kill
that
for.
That doesn't frustrate you, though, that you see three goals that are identical?
It does frustrate me, but because of the situation, because of the circumstances surrounding the game, and the fact that we still got a point out of that, I'm fine.
See, to me...
Again, had he done this formation in the playoff situation, in a one-game situation, even with, I would rather have a more, let's just do what we've done, mm-hmm. let's just plug and play.
What if Tito was responsible for all three goals, Eric?
We just let Eric go solo.
Yeah, you guys wouldn't be here. I'd just be. Are you gonna, an entire rant, like an hour long rant against Tito?
I think you owe some of our listeners and Tito homers an apology.
Can I
mainly just Tito
for the week before this week, or weeks before this week?
Can I just read my tweet from earlier today?
Which one? You were tweeting a lot in the last couple days.
Let me see.
You were busy boy.
For the record, I tweeted this to.
To Ryan Cantonese and Teodoro Football.
Yep. Because Ryan Cantonese tweeted out, take. Not sure Tito is getting the love he deserves lately for Atlanta.
Hint, hint.
I think he's talking to me.
I feel like if you rub lemon on that message, it would have had your name behind it.
And through Eric. So I quote tweeted and said, for the record, I think he's been excellent the last few matches.
I missed that tweet. I just saw the door open. You were, saw the conversation. And then I said, he walked out.
Oh, no.
And then I said, I was probably too harsh on him when Martinez was out. And I wrote it all together, like made it run, and then just runs out of the room real fast.
You should have just made it one big hashtag.
I thought we saw one of Tito's better games, all-around games in this match. One thing that you mentioned, Eric, and you mentioned it too, Jay, this is a team that we've consistently attacked down the left side the majority of the time all season long. Obviously, it was personnel-based, so McCann subs in for
early
Garza.
Early on, Gressel gave the right some opportunities when he was first put into that position, but when Tito was
this game,
up
though,
front.
This game, 41% down the left side to 35%. You even saw Almiron starting to drift over to the right, which we haven't seen all year. Conversely, Orlando went 43% down the right side and 27% down the left. So... We're attacking down one flank, and they were attacking down the other, basically.
They were attacking the space that McCann was leaving.
There was always space in between. And they knew that, and I think they knew that coming in. That was where to expose the space and get crosses into the box.
Can we focus on Tito?
Well, I'm trying to give Tito love. I think that's what you were trying to do.
He saw the bulk of the ball coming to his side for really the first time this season, and... And without a out-and-out right-back playing behind him, and I thought he was absolutely fantastic.
So on the second the first goal, Tito, a beautiful pass to Gressel, right? Gressel runs down
honestly,
I'm going to go out of bounds, but nope, I'm going to still sneak it through.
That was a beautiful goal.
Between the pass, the run, and the finish, that might, honestly, I know there are better-looking goals,
please.
But that's goal of the year.
Goal of the year.
the teamwork. No, come on.
Hot
the
take
teamwork
right here.
That took between three players, the timing,
that baby
the
in that terminal is crying right now. Like, foul.
But I know Tito's goal against Orlando City. That's going to be memorable. We're all going to remember exactly how we reacted to that goal. the first goal of the season. This is what I'm putting up there because I'm like the teamwork from three players.
Just the sexy football that took place to orchestrate that whole thing. I mean, is what you're saying, from start to finish.
It was it was beautiful.
That's you talked about Tito cutting inside and playing that reverse ball to Gressel. Again, that's a goal that we keep talking about. That's a goal that happens at Mercedes-Benz because he has that extra space out wide to cut in and play that.
Well, that's
pass
that third
to Gressel.
Goal, right? Tito comes in with the assist, the cross on that right
Fantastic.
Side.
Fantastic. And well done, Gressel, as well. I mean, maybe Bendett could have done better when he rounded him at the end line, but it was great awareness from Gressel because you could see a lot of the other players. Switch off after that last touch, thinking the ball was going to go out.
Right.
Everyone but him and Joseph.
Gressel, they should know Gressel finishes all of his plays.
Gressel's something else, man, because he struggled to get into the flow of the play as a rookie, but he has provided fantastic end product from day one. Goals, assists,
I just can't imagine this guy in another 2 years, he's just going to be unstoppable.
If he can develop a consistency to his game where you can trust him to play 90 minutes.
If he can get played in a consistent position,
ball,
I mean, that's going to help him too.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think he's going to be. He could be a special.
So Tito
player.
Two assists that puts him on 7 assists total. Right. What is he tied for? Assists. Is it Assad with 7 or Gressel with 7? I think it must be Assad.
I get confused by MLS assists since they count hockey assists.
But no, let's okay. So sorry, I was really catching up on the comments on Facebook. Sorry, we know you guys are there. We'll get to you guys in a second.
Eric knows you're there. Jay and I are just talking.
We're trying to get Tito love, guys. This is a rare occasion. Give us a break.
I think in all three goals, Tito is essential. Tito, I think, deserves. I mean, if you want to go super the opposite way of what I do,
are we
have
more hot takes coming now? What's happening?
I mean, look, if he didn't win, someone asked Jason Longshore who.
Waiting for the lights to go out again.
Who the other. Like, if it weren't Martinez for man of the match, it would have been Tito to me.
Right.
Because his passes, you're going to forget about those passes 10 years from now when you think about Martinez's hat trick against Orlando City to come back three straight times. You're going to forget about those passes.
Are you listening, Dirty South Soccer? Oh, we want a Tito montage clip.
Without Tito in this game, those goals don't happen. He was essential.
Yep, you're so right.
He was unbelievably, I think that's the best game he's played. And he didn't score goals.
And he would have been put in the record books and remembered in this match if he had scored that 92nd minute shot.
Were we all just not
where everyone
Lion
is
Tamer.
Tito the Lion Tamer.
Lion Tamer.
That would have been perfect.
Oh
Tom.
Goodness, Bendick with two great blocks in that match. Bendick was better than Guzan.
The save he made on Amino in the first half was,
which is aggravating because
you see, look, I didn't have a good look on it, but you can see even from any angle you look at that ball curved.
Yeah.
It knuckled on Bendick.
Yeah.
He was lucky to get it.
Bendick was locked in.
Several good saves.
And he was also locked in on the gamesmanship. We were, if you can hear us in the supporter section, we would count sometimes up to 12 seconds, sometimes up to 17 seconds before he would kick a goal kick. What is this referee doing? Every time they were up a goal, he would waste time. And that's fine. That's his prerogative. But the referee's got to step in at some point. I mean, yelling. We're counting for the supporters section.
And I don't think he did he even
Six
get a warning.
6 seconds, referee. There's this guy next to me. The guy next to me who, by the way, saved my tail because the whole escalator situation meant I got to the supporters section way behind the march, and it was full. And this guy recognized me from Dirty for Miles of the South podcast, and he motioned for an open seat, and I stood next to this guy the whole time.
Wow.
And he was screaming every time he hit the ball, 6 seconds! 6 seconds! Epic. Loved it. I think his name's Carl. Shout out to Carl, I think.
But no, wow, Vijalba.
Sorry if I slaughtered your name.
Vijalba, I think, was just awesome. These last few games at Mercedes, I think the width of the field is I don't know if it's the turf. I don't know if it's the width of the field. I don't know if it's a combination of both. But my gosh, he's been excellent.
He might just be playing better, you know? I mean, Eric, our main criticism of him all season long was that most of his productive plays were not out-and-out winger plays. They were stuff that he did in the middle of the pitch, particularly the goals that he scored. And now we're starting to see him cutting inside from wide positions and providing consistent service, which is something that we didn't get out of him earlier in the season. And that's why he played the best game of that he played all year, because it's not a game where he, for instance, the first Orlando game where he pops up at the end and scores a great goal. It wasn't like that at all. He controlled the right side of the pitch the entire match and was a main reason, one of the reasons that Orlando basically abandoned going down that side altogether. So the reason that was his best match of the year was not just statistically getting the assists, but the reason it was his best match of the year, despite not scoring, was because he's providing great service from the wings, and that's what you need from Tito Vigil, but really more than goals. You're going to get goals from Martinez. You're going to get goals from Almiron. Obviously, you'd like for him to score too, but the key from him is consistent service, and we've seen that really since we opened up Mercedes-Benz.
I think one of the big things I took out of this game too is you can tell Almiron's frustrated.
He's been so unlucky
I know. And I asked him after the match. I asked him, like, do you feel overly frustrated? And he said he felt frustrated. I mean,
it's not going to click for every player at the same time, you know.
But here's the thing: it's not like he's. To me, it's more like just unlucky run of form.
I mean, if he has scored,
he's still. I mean, creating opportunities.
I'm not saying that.
I know it's not tangible to him. You don't feel it unless it's an assist or a direct goal or whatever. But
how many shots on goal has he hit off the post?
Well, he's had four in the last couple games, right?
Yeah, I mean, how unlucky is that? He had four off the post.
Yeah.
The one work
two
has
in
not
one
been
game
friend.
Go off the same post.
I don't think he'll be in a gif kissing the goal post like Joseph.
And goodness, I mean, the one that he took out of the air and beat Toya into the box and hit the near post. That was absolutely world class. Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, you just sit there and wonder, man, the intelligence, the skill. That's easily
he's special
goal of the week in my eyes. Yeah. If he's able to get that past Bendick.
And you know, like I think for Miguel Almiron, I'm hearing a lot of people saying he's out of form. To me, he was
just unlucky.
This last road trip, he's out of form because you're not even seeing him get the ball in advantageous positions. If he's getting the ball in the final third and just unlucky hitting the bar, hitting the posts, he's doing just fine. And I thought he had a fantastic impact on the game. Unlucky for it not to show up.
He's
going to
blow it up in one of these matches. Galaxy may be the one for him to just
absolutely
completely
and they're a mess. So yeah,
and we could talk about that here in a second. But the woodwork has not been our friend. Even McCann's shot from out far fourth minute.
Ended up that was a good set piece.
Bendick saved that as well. I don't recall if that hit the post, but I know there was a couple that hit.
No,
hit
I think
the
he
post.
Knocked that
I
think one over. Knocked it over. Yeah,
yeah. But I think we want to probably save Galaxy till the end. But if we go back and just talk about, I've started to think about what these matches would have been like in Bobby Dodd.
Yep, me too.
I just don't think we would have run up as many goals as we've seen on Wednesday. I do not think in the same lineup that we would have scored as many goals against Orlando,
especially the way we scored them. Yeah.
They could have nipped this from us. Although the space, they would have also not have had as much space.
I don't think they would have been able to put those crosses as easily because they have less space to work with.
I mean, it would have been more similar to when they came to Bobby
Dodd.
How
good is this timing right now?
I know. What a perfect time to get in there.
But here's the thing. I almost want to see, and you'll never hear me say this again, but I almost want to see Mears step in for walks again.
On a permanent basis or a rotation?
Just a break, give him a break.
I want to see, not because of his performance in this game.
No, just give him a break.
But what was the problem with all of Mears' crosses? They were just way too long.
Yeah.
They would go over the entire box sometimes. Well, now he's got more width. I wonder what those crosses look like. I wonder how much more dangerous he looks like on the wing.
Right. His
defending is still suspect, and I don't think he adds that much more than Walks does going forward.
He doesn't cover that much ground.
But I would like to, I mean, I really don't think much changes. I just think it's something to see.
Do you guys
after
think we
Montreal.
Finally
after
see Montreal. Finally see some squad rotation
I don't.
Here coming up?
After
or it's
Montreal.
Just to stick it,
said after the game,
going, huh?
I think he wants, because I think Doug Robertson asked him specifically, like, at what point do you start thinking about resting
was
players.
That before or after Doug Robinson had to move his seat because of the juju?
No, that was Wednesday. That was Wednesday. Wasn't Saturday.
That was Wednesday. No, just then. Why they just released it?
They waited. Okay. I think they waited. I think I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday.
Okay, because they released it the other day, so it was interesting.
Released it today, didn't they?
And so, explain what this is with Tata.
So, all right, so Tata, Doug Robertson, at least after the games, has been sitting on the left side. He's the front row. It's like
to Tata's
seats.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, to Tata's right. Like, immediate right. Like, it's not the first seat.
It's the second seat. Yeah.
So, for some reason, this game, I forget who it is. He's a writer from the touchline. Anyways, he was sitting in that seat. And so
Doug had to sit
and
somewhere
so Doug,
else.
I mean, he didn't care, but Doug was sitting on that right, on Tata's left side.
Far
right,
left,
on the
yeah.
right side, on the very, very right side.
Right.
And so Doug usually gets the first question. And as soon as he started talking, Tata's like, nope, Move over here. I think it was Wednesday. I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday.
How did he communicate it?
He just
did he say he just point?
It was nonverbal communication.
Oh, he was in motion with his eyes.
Said, bruh. Yeah. You want? That's great.
And the funny thing is, Doug is sitting there with his phone because he's Facebook Living this whole thing.
Right. He's got to have a good position,
and so he's explaining it to his
watchers. I'm positions now.
Are you getting moved across the room?
Yeah. You just moved across,
and it got picked up by ESPN FC or something today. I saw that.
They reposted it because Atlanta United made a GIF or something out of it today. Here's the thing. It was definitely Wednesday because Tata was not happy on – well, he wasn't as happy as he was on Wednesday on Saturday.
Yeah. And we know – I mean, if you've been following the team closely all year, we know that he's been doing that.
Was it from game one or
did he start – when did it first start, I wonder?
But, I mean, he's been since Mercedes-Benz opened.
Yeah.
He's been sitting on that left side.
Tata seems to be getting very comfortable in Atlanta. Comfortable with the press, you know, comfortable with
he actually, with and, team. And look, now that he said something about it, I might ask him some tougher questions. But he was talking to the Spanish media specifically about how, you know, in Argentina, I would get asked about why I played three in the back.
Right. Yeah.
Which, of course, to me, I'm like, well, I had no idea you were playing three.
It was three-ish.
And he said, you know, people in Argentina or in South America or Latin America, you know, people would ask me or they would critique me on why I played three in the back. Here, it's all about the atmosphere of the stadium and the off-the-field things.
Right, right. Yeah.
He was almost not complaining, but he was almost – like, it's nice not having to answer those questions.
I'd imagine that's a breath of fresh air, and I'm sure particularly the guys that came from South America, you know, Martinez from Torino, it's nice to just be able to focus on your game.
Imagine how they're feeling right now. I mean, I know that they
here's the thing.
But
I asked Tata about, you know, did you feel like this was something, the three goals that Orlando scored, was that something that Orlando figured out? Was that a tactical adjustment they made from playing you twice
before?
Was that
Christ calling the raccoon? Exactly.
Or was it three individual mistakes by one player? Well, I didn't say by one player. Is it three mistakes, right? And so that's when he said,
right,
you know, first and foremost, the goals are my responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and then he went on from there.
Anybody knows who's ever taken any kind of...
I love the fact that he said that.
If you work in business, and sports does this too, but there's a book out there, there's a methodology that a lot of people employ, managers employ, businesses adopt when they feel they need to really adopt a new culture to pick things up, whether it's improving sales or it's improving players' performance, and that is culture of accountability. This is a thing. And culture of accountability starts, yes, there is a bottom-up approach, but it does start at the top through leadership. And just to see Tata come out and say that and then immediately preceded by Anton, I know we already talked about that he may have already had an inkling as to how Anton would react to this situation and getting ahead of it. Either way, it could also be a response to Tata's leadership style to say we take accountability for our actions.
Full team.
Yeah. And that is something you do not see in professional sports.
No, I mean, how brilliant
today.
Is that? That's a great point. I never thought about social media to come out and say that.
It wasn't just him, too. Guzan took responsibility. Guzan said we all could have done better.
That was his worst game from a world class.
He took some of the blame himself.
I do not expect that from a 20-year-old.
Right. Yeah. Fantastic.
I think McCann, when we talked to him, he said something similar. I mean, it wasn't – no one was putting the blame on walks, and you can't.
No,
I mean,
there
was a lot that
we
went
agree.
Wrong
I think it's totally
plays.
Unfair right. to single him out. And I think Tata, yes, he was speaking to walks when he said that. And I think – but in a lot of ways, again, it's like you guys said, it's kind of the mind games with the team because there were a lot of guys in positions they weren't – used to. I mean, Carmona was in a spot that
he needs these guys' confidence to be back immediately. You can't even think about these goals. We have a game, a quick turnaround. Yeah.
And we played pretty well. Defend across, you know?
Look, Walks has had the unfortunate, has gone through the unfortunate circumstances of being on the wrong side of some bad plays with Atlanta United so far this year. Remember the first game? He's got the own goal.
Right. And he subbed in at center back. Yeah.
In this game, he's got two bad marking moments.
But Parker stepped up like a good captain and said, you know what, I'm going to take two to make you feel better.
No.
Don't even worry about it, kid.
And look, I don't, and I, one of the things that Soccer Down Here noticed is that a lot of the people that responded to his apology tweets, which I don't think, look, it's nice that he did that.
99% of those were, we if got not you, bro. All of them, you, I read bro. Through most of them.
No worries.
I even saw just, a couple Spurs fans saying, this is fantastic. I mean, this is great, well, so we Spurs, love it, you know?
In England, you don't get that. In England,
they're like, what's going on here?
Ooh, you donkey.
Yeah. But fantastic, and especially for a young player, that's playing in a position that he was not expected to play. He's more of a center back.
I just love that he feels that connection to the fans.
Mm-hmm. And that's key.
That's what I love about it.
That goes back to the accountability piece.
I don't think the apology was necessary. I'm glad he did it. As a fan, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
More importantly, I love that he thought he had to do that because I need to reach out to the fans and tell them
and
how
that's
bad
important.
I feel
and if that
this.
Makes him feel better too, if that's part of his process to now he can
we love you,
not
Walks.
Think about it.
Yeah.
That's some people have different processes. Some people internalize, they can just get rid of it. Some people have to vocalize and say, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility. Now that's off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. I can move forward. And think about the level of accountability that exists when you're playing in front of a record-breaking 70,425 people versus 16,000 people in some other stadium in MLS.
Yeah.
That's also accountability to the fans. When you've got people on their feet for 90 minutes versus a smattering of people sitting in a stand that you hear them cheer on occasion, sometimes you start to think of as a player, I don't owe these people anything.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they vocalize that or not, probably not, they're professionals, but at the same time, it may be internalized.
Yeah.
And so that is huge. And to break that attendance record, only 400 less than the Falcons in the next game. And a shout out to FC Cincinnati for breaking a USL record again with 30,417.
Fantastic.
What I find kind of funny is that their motto is hashtag rise together.
Is it?
Yes. And Falcons is rise up. So I just thought that was interesting.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. So some symbolism there.
I mean, look, it sucks that it was him that it happened to, but I want him to start. I think he deserves a spot in this. I think he's earned a spot in this team. I'm so glad that the fans, you know, are trying to pick him up via social media.
How inspiring must that be for him?
I know.
To
I was
go
gonna say,
in
I
on
hope,
Wednesday.
I hope that he goes in on Wednesday and
he's
and
fired
feels,
up.
Yeah.
And feels like, all right, you know what? The fans got
Watch
me.
Watch him put in his best game yet.
And look, I mean, even aside
honestly,
from,
no, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
Aside from a fan standpoint, and as a fan, you always want to stay behind your guys. But aside from that, I think this last match, he's played fantastically well, and we've talked a lot about how Guzan.
Well, depending on who you ask, but yes,
yeah,
I agree.
But to me, I agree. Yeah, right, exactly. And his problems have mainly been, until this game, have mainly been going forward. He seemed to show some improvement at Mercedes-Benz. However, defensively, he's pretty much been fantastic until this match. And the drop-off in goals that we talk a lot that coincides with Guzan coming into the lineup, that's right around the same time that Walks breaks in it right back. So I think he's brought a different type of solidity. As a natural center half, he's a better 1v1 defender than Mears. So I think that he is a big part of the back four coming together over these last couple of months, and it's important not to forget that. You might get mad at him for his crossing, but realize in the end he's paid to defend, and he's made a huge difference on that side of the ball this season and much improved going forward as well over the last few weeks.
So we all agree Anton Walks will be back and better than ever on Wednesday against LA Galaxy.
And we assume he's not hurt. We talked about that.
Nothing has been said. I really think that if he were hurt, like really, I mean.
Why'd you guys even have to bring that up? Seriously.
It looked like he might have cramped, or he was looking weird
was
in that
cramp.
Half, but
yeah,
I feel like he had a cramp coming or something.
And look, I don't want to tempt.
We're going to have to turn the lights on and off like 10 times now to get rid of the bad juju that you guys have just brought into the studio with this comment. I was trying to get us off Anton. We breeze right by that, pull us back into attendance numbers, and you go right back into it again.
Look, I don't want to tempt the dread god, but
here we go again.
You guys have told me a lot about
if he took a rest against LA Galaxy, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
No, I agree.
But here's the thing. I think that he has to play. I think if he's healthy enough, he has to play.
I think psychologically,
he needs to get over that. The game against Orlando.
Yeah.
So here's my question. When I was trying to pull us back to talking about attendance and just, you know, Don Garber was there. He watched Arthur hit the golden spike, which I got a little emotional about. I did not see him
that
come up to
really
the last
cool.
minute where I was sitting.
Little tear.
I think most people didn't notice.
Little tear.
That was heavy. Yeah. I didn't tear up, but I was verklempt.
Little dust.
I was verklempt.
Got to wipe off.
So
beklempt?
Yeah.
Is that a Dutch word or something?
Have you never watched Mike, Mark Myers and Saturday Night Live? Do you know no Jewish grandmothers?
Yeah, I definitely know Jewish grandmothers.
Okay.
How
is
that
Yiddish?
Ask them
what beklempt.
How old
yes.
are you?
I'm 34.
Yeah, that's what
I love. I have
a Jewish grandmother.
So verklempt.
So
no, I do too.
Don't even get me started on
how
bagels.
How do I not know verklempt?
So
choked with emotion.
In a halftime interview, he was asked, and he gave some pretty long-winded answers about the idea of Atlanta hosting a World Cup. Now he's great at the non-answer, so he could talk for a long time and not give a direct answer.
They were all non-answers.
They were all non-answers, but he, you know, it did come up again, and he did say that. Even though there's a process, he essentially said he couldn't see how Atlanta's not going to be considered, you know, to be one of the key
imagine.
Cities.
There's no way.
Right. So
I'm sorry, there's no way.
It's obvious now. So he ate some crow. Tyler Twellman ate some crow. Everybody's now giving full-on advertisements for Atlanta United. Yeah. It's driving Orlando crazy because every other tweet from MLS
here's the thing.
Is about it.
They're pumping
so
it up.
I mean, is this going to happen? Are we going to do – are we going to – are you talking – World Cup final – World Cup semifinal, World Cup quarterfinal. What are we talking about here?
In the bins?
Yeah.
Oh, I think.
I'm saying because LAFC Stadium will be finished when?
Look, if you can get
yeah,
the right.
Yeah, who are the competitors
listen,
for that?
LAFC, basically. That's it.
Oh, it just depends. Yeah, it depends on how nice, how big LAFC Stadium is.
But LA Galaxy can't even pull 20,000 people. I mean,
and
the stadium, LAFC stadium, is not going to be 70,000 people.
You know how many people are going to travel to LA to go see the World Cup final?
You're going to be capped.
Because I'm sitting here, I'm thinking maybe Atlanta, maybe Mercedes-Benz Stadium becomes like the feature stadium of the World Cup.
It's also the only one that can seat more than 20-some thousand people than the soccer-specific
ones
out in LA.
They'll have to bring grass in, obviously, but I'm sure they'd be willing to do that.
And other than New York, I don't know of another place I could do
that. As we saw in 94 when the U.S. had the World
Cup. The facility, the FIFA-permitted pitches.
I'm not saying I wouldn't want it. I'm just saying it's Atlanta.
Yeah, I think Bocanegra's got this
but
in the
I
bag.
Think so much of it is going to come down to stadium size, just like it did in 1994 when they were picking the locations. You saw games in the Rose Bowl. You saw games in Giant Stadium.
And
Mercedes-Benz being a stadium that can host soccer and is already going to give you 70,000 plus and obviously everything that comes with all the amenities, I think it has to be at the top of the list.
You
for
got
all
MARTA,
of those reasons.
Airport, everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're speculating wildly.
MARTA's a nightmare.
You know,
I don't even think it's
well,
wild.
Well, maybe not by 2026.
Are you kidding me? You know how slow we are with anything, with any kind of construction?
What, we can't get 9 years?
If we want to expand MARTA or make it better by the World Cup by, what, 26?
I'm so not getting into this conversation.
Is that
right
what we're
now.
Talking about, 26?
Maybe if we just pretend they're building condos or something, and then it'll be up in like 2 months. That's
I
all
don't,
we have to
I
do.
Don't know what will be needed, but whatever that bid includes will have to include either a lot more hotels around the dome, around Mercedes-Benz, a lot better ways to get to and fro.
I don't think anything's going to care about that.
I don't think either, but I that's going to be a major issue.
I think
issue.
All that matters is that
I would love it. I would love the World Cup in Mercedes-Benz. Are you kidding me?
I think it's going to be a semifinal for sure. Very
I think,
possible
I think
a final.
Could, I think it could be the feature stadium.
Yeah. And then what about the All-Star match, MLS All-Star match?
I don't care.
Nobody cares.
I hate All-Star
Eric's games. Eric's a just big fan of All-Star games.
You know what?
I don't
keep
know
the
much...
dome up and just stick it in there.
I mean, I'll go.
That had to be said.
We
don't want those
dome.
Boring legs, people pretending to actually play, running around on our pitch, ruining
it. What's the point? Honestly, what's the point? You're watching an exhibition game.
It's to sell $2 hot dogs. What else is the point?
We're getting MLS All-Star. And there's going to be every All-Star game you can imagine. I mean, it's going to be there.
Arthur Blank was symbolically, when he was whacking that gold spike, he was basically saying, this is the World Cup final bid, and I'm burying it into the ground that is going to be here. This is the spike.
And you're the spike if you don't accept our bid.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was an intimidating thing, too. The baby was just as scared as Arthur Blank hitting the spike, as I think of you, Jay.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a frightening evening for the baby.
Raccoon witches and the baby.
Yeah. That baby deserved everything it got.
No, he also, Don Garber also called Atlanta United the story of the year.
Story
I
of
think
the year
so, don't you
in
guys
sports,
think?
not just
soccer like the SiriusXM poll.
Morons.
Oh, right.
Story
yeah,
of the
me,
year.
To me, LA Galaxy falling off.
Look,
is this
I still
story.
think Cincinnati has a good call. And I remember saying last week that if you think it's anyone other than FC Cincinnati, you're dreaming. I really still think it's FC Cincinnati.
In terms of what they've created with the fan support?
In terms of U.S. Open Cup and what they were able to do.
That's true.
And they honestly probably should have pulled it off.
Exhibition match.
They should be playing tomorrow night.
I'd rather go see the exhibition match between FC Cincinnati and Atlanta United than an MLS All-Star match.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, I hate All-Star games.
With respect to the story of the year, I mean, I guess he's exaggerating. I'd say the soccer story of the year. I think aside from the support, I mean, Cincinnati's does fantastic. I mean, the product on the field for an expansion franchise trying to play a difficult brand of soccer to play is incredible. When again, and this thing we've talked about all year is aside from, you know, the fans have been great, the stadium is great, is Atlanta United found a way to find 13, 14, 15 guys that fit right into the system that not anybody can play.
But Josh, the real question is, okay, can this expansion team beat a team that's on a 111-2 run since late June? Because, you know, the Dread Gods or the Raccoon Ranch would say,
whatever you want to call it,
come into my office.
Come into my lair.
Yeah. Let me tell you about that. And so let's talk about LA a little bit. There was a story out, Eric. Do you want to premise this?
Corner of the Galaxy.
Fantastic story.
Corner of the Galaxy. They have a podcast. They cover LA Galaxy, obviously. Came out with a story, basically,
which they've been pretty bored lately.
Yeah, basically describing a closed door meeting between
Ziggy Smith
and the communications director. Right. Everybody was in there. Yeah.
Well, no, the players and the team. So yeah. Basically, what it came down to is this season is lost.
They are playing for their jobs.
They
were told this.
Yeah,
it was clear.
He
didn't even have to yell. Apparently, he was just frustrated.
This is.
Yeah, I love that quote.
This has "trap game" written all over it,
and
I hate it.
I think it would have been.
This has
I
"trap think, game" written all over it.
Jason Longshore at an interesting point. He said it would have been more of a trap game if we had lost Saturday. But yes,
I think
still
it's still
tricky.
A trap game.
I also think it's a trap game. And
there's no way around it. You have to beat this team. Yeah. You have to beat this team.
And,
we'll accept the draw. You have to get 3 points out of this game.
They were just beat 4-0 by Toronto with no Jozy Altidore.
No Giovinco.
Giovinco's not there, yeah.
And a couple other players. And that's just ridiculous. And now they're turning around and having to travel to Atlanta United, who just broke records all over the place.
Yeah.
So many records. With a Joseph Martinez with seven goals in three games. Tata wants 10.
Yeah, more.
Look, you have to win. If you're Atlanta United, you have to win this game. There is no drawing. There is no
LGP's
bad performance.
Back.
You have to win this game.
Well, and this is a game where, again, it's a team that's unquestionably in crisis. And I think you're either going to see them come out with their hair on fire or they're going to shut up shop and fold.
One of the quotes from one of the players, I forget who, mentioned, look, playing for your job, if that doesn't motivate you, I don't know what does. And he's right.
Was the keeper.
I have no idea what else can motivate you more than
money.
Well,
it sure isn't the Los Angeles weather. <That's>, too many coronas.
I don't know what can motivate you more than your income. If you told me, look, do this or you lose your income, all right, what do you need me to do?
Yeah.
How can I do it?
Yeah.
This to not only finish out this year. I mean, they got to do something. They got to – at some point it says, you know, it's a pride thing. They're playing for their jobs. But I also heard the season is lost.
Yeah.
What LA Galaxy are we going to get? Are we going to get LA Galaxy that's going to, you know, come out with their pants on fire? Or are they going to be the ones that have fully given up on the season?
Yeah. One thing I will say is if you see an early goal.
Listen, you have international players on that team. There's no way they're
Ellison
giving
Drini,
up on the season.
Both Dos Santos.
I don't know. Maybe a few of them are like, I'm going to play so bad. I want out of here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And we've seen MLS teams
have that happen. I mean, they're professionals. I understand.
Before.
But. How do you not check out?
I'm really interested to see, I agree with you, Jay, the way that they come in and just to get an idea of their body language. Because, I mean, when you say everyone's playing for their jobs, I mean, that's going to motivate. That quote that you gave, Eric, was from John Kempen, the goalkeeper. Yeah. Who I think
and
is
he
their
basically
backup.
Translated Ziggy's, you know.
But, you know, Giovanni Dos Santos, if he's going to be somewhere next year. Alison Drini is going to be somewhere next year. Boateng is going to be somewhere next year. So the problem with this team is you have a bunch of kind of established veteran players that maybe don't necessarily respond to that type of motivation because they've played for a long time. They know that there's a place for them, whether it's an MLS or somewhere else. So I think you could really see a complete sink or swim scenario for them Wednesday.
Here's the thing. If they don't play well, we're not talking about them just losing their jobs to the LA Galaxy. You're talking about taking a significant cut in pay because this happened under your watch. This happened while you were there.
Their supporters stood outside and like police officers could not get them to leave until they finally sent a player. They just didn't name him. They sent a player out to go talk to them and explain that what was going down, that they're playing for their jobs, the whole situation, et cetera.
They told the fans this season is lost.
Yes, they said basically this
crazy season is lost.
At least they gave them an answer. They were waiting out there for like a very long time, apparently, while this was all going down. They refused to leave the stadium.
I mean,
Did
you guys watch Toronto LA Galaxy?
Yeah.
The goals they gave up, incredibly way too soft.
It's incredible. One thing I liked that Schmid said was straight from the story you're referencing, Eric, was basically asked about what he's learned about the team roster since taking over. He said, "I've learned a lot of things. They're for me.
Yeah. Not telling you anything."
He is furious. Absolutely furious with the performance.
I'm just thinking what Joseph Martinez is going to do to that back line. I mean,
you're tempting the Dread Gods, man.
Oh.
You never know.
Raccoon Witch is coming out.
Let's tempt him even more then, okay? Let's talk about Joseph for a second because we gave Tito lots of love.
We're going all in on this?
We're going all in on Joseph. Right. So Joseph is now in the gold boot.
You can straight up blame us if we lose a game.
No, blame Jay. Blame Jay.
Blame that baby, okay?
I'm allowing it to happen.
Dumb baby. All right, so 7 days ago, nobody would have said that Joseph is in the running for the Golden Boot. I mean, it would have been ridiculous to say that.
We literally had that conversation,
and we just kind of laughed at it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Funny, ha ha ha. Okay, he's three behind Villa, who only just came back, played 18 minutes, this past weekend. You've got now breaking records with hat tricks, all right? So he's got three hat tricks in MLS season, which was only done by four or five other people.
He could, if we're going to tempt the Dread Gods.
We're doing it. We're all
LA
in.
LA Galaxy very easily could be another game. He has another hat trick.
This could be the hat trick.
I mean,
no, of course.
If we're going to attempt it, if we're going to go all out on that, this is a recipe for three straight hat tricks, which has never been done before.
He's just the third player in MLS history to score a hat trick in consecutive games. That would become three games in a row. He joins the like of Robbie Keane and Eddie Johnson. He's the fifth to have a hat trick in three league games. That includes Bradley Wright Phillips 2014, Diego Serna in 2000, Stern John in 1998. And Kobe Jones. And Stern John, Stern John, ironically, is also one of the only player to finish a season above one goal per 90
and
minutes.
And he's one of the great MLS players ever.
And it was the same year in 1998 that they did the consecutive hat tricks.
Yeah.
So
he's in great company.
Stern John.
Yeah. He hadn't played in England for 10 years.
What was the record we talked about that he held with Kyle Larin?
So that was initially debut season to score more than one hat trick. So
took that away from Kyle, right?
Well, not only that. I mean, we also took away the record from Orlando City by welcoming, after this match, 577,917 fans to date, which tops the expansion team record set by Orlando City in 2015. Thank you very much.
Orlando,
not the South.
that was in the crappy Sun Bowl, wasn't it, too?
Kings of the South. So, I mean, right now, you know, it's just... I've never even seen anything like this before. I don't know what to equate this to, except for, and I'm hesitant to get hyperbolic about La Liga. I'm not going to go there, but
real quick, Jay Heaps just got fired.
I just saw that.
Breaking news on the Mouths of South podcast: Jay Heaps, head coach of the New England Revolution, who Atlanta United beat 7-0.
How did he make another game?
I don't know.
Oh boy!
Honestly, I have no idea. Anyway, I didn't mean to.
It would have been funny as if New England Revolution's Twitter account just tweeted hashtag Heaps out,
and that's their and that's their first tweet since the 7-0, right?
Since the scarves
they've been radio silent.
Since the scarves up tweet. Yeah. Oh my goodness! I said this is the most boring Twitter account ever. I went back to go look at it, see if it got any better, and it's so terrible.
Nothing.
You just have to laugh at it.
I mean, I'm looking at USL team, and I was looking at PDL team Twitter accounts. far more creative, far better run by people.
Because they have to be.
Either well, New England has to be. They're losing fans.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
They need it more than than FC Cincinnati does.
All right. Give me a break. I think Jermaine Jones will be back.
Yes.
For LA Galaxy.
Back. Thank God.
Here's the thing. I saw it.
Stay away from him.
Yeah, and that's my concern.
Yeah.
He's liable to hurt a fool.
That's fine. Red card.
And he's going to.
No, I would much rather something happen to Jermaine Jones.
Than
Almiron break a leg.
He's more likely to hurt his own goalkeeper than anybody else. Our guys are so fast, he wouldn't even know what to do.
It's gone too far. We're tempting the red cards way too much.
I'm going all in. LA Galaxy's going down. 17-1.
I'm legit concerned right now.
Well, it'd be 11-8.
Because you're just straight up giving the middle finger to the dread god.
If I had a big middle finger foam finger right now, I'd be holding it up. Two of them.
I don't like this.
Okay.
Dumb baby.
It's about the baby. I still think this is a game against LA. If you get an early goal like you did against New England, you're going to see a very similar response where they're just.
Well,
just shut it down.
According to Ryan Cantney, if we go according on Twitter to Ryan Cantney's strategy, and I'm being facetious here, he didn't call
Ryan's
a strategy.
Ryan's been quite the shout out on this podcast.
Yeah.
but he said that in a discussion about short corners, that the fact that Optima says that we have 60% of our corners, or Opta stats, that 60% of our corners are short corners. Yeah, that people, a lot of people thought it was higher.
It's gone down since we came into Mercedes-Benz.
But to be fair, the number two team is the Dynamo, and they only have 37%. So teams have and the problem though is Toyota Football said that the stats don't show, they don't have an answer when you ask it. Well, how many goals are coming from that? Because it only tracks
the direct kick stats to some, and
Ryan says, you know, in the past four games, you got Emil versus the Union, you got LGP versus Dallas. Greg won the penalty off the short corner. Tito against the so there's chances being created and goals being created from these short corners now with this extra space.
100%.
And I just think, you know, with looking at how these goals have been created against LA Galaxy, they'll be. But they won't know what to do.
Yeah.
They won't know what to do.
Yeah.
we just do whatever we want.
But what happens to Jermaine Jones when the team is frustrated and they don't know what to do?
You're the ones that brought up Jermaine Jones. I didn't bring up
Because
Jermaine
he's going to be in the game.
You're the one that brought him up.
We got to worry about him, man.
So there's two. The aging.
No, seriously, though. What happens to Jermaine Jones when he's lost and frustrated and he doesn't know what he's doing?
I don't know. I think he's given up at this point.
He goes into an ankle.
That does worry me a bit.
Hopefully, he's more worried about his own fitness at this point, and he just
chills
out.
He pushes a ref in a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's what he does when he gets frustrated.
Yeah, I know.
He's
going up against our most important players. I don't like this anymore.
Not only is Jermaine Jones a guy that gets stuck in, he's a guy that I can see Almiron skinning 1v1 time and time again, which is
so
going
slow.
So
Jermaine Jones takes out a leg
in that Jermaine Jones that we
How about
all know.
This? How
and
about
love?
Carmona takes him out first, and then we just have to worry.
That's
about
true.
It.
I mean, maybe Carmona can just get in there right away. I think another matchup we've been talking about, Tito, Ashley Cole is another one of those older players that has struggled on the defensive side of the ball.
Now, but the funny thing is, he's been actually the most consistent player on their team. Well, he's been quietly doing his business
going
back there,
forward.
But
they really, for the most part. Really, really need to put up with him. I think he's another one of those guys I mentioned earlier, one of those veteran players that says, I mean, he's made so much money in his career. I don't think he's going to be motivated, particularly motivated from that left back position by this you're playing for your jobs mantra that's coming in with LA Galaxy. And maybe we'll see them go play the young guys the rest of the season. But I really look at that side of the pitch with Cole versus Villalba and Walks. Assuming that it's Walks, and I think that's really an area where you can expose them in the wide situations and create those types of goals.
LA Galaxy is so bad that if it just wasn't announced that the U-17 men's national team is bringing in four of our academy kids into the World Cup training camp for India, I would say just play,
right.
That's how bad they are. Like I thought, I feel more confident than I did against New England Revolution.
I actually agree with you there, but yeah. I I don't like the I way feel you're really talking about this game, man.
Justin Garcia's goalkeeper. just go at him. Just taunt them. Like, throw it in their face. You know, like, we put in this kid in the goal. That's how confident we are.
And they're a team that's kind of struggled to score a bit at times this season too. So I think that if the attack keeps firing on all cylinders,
couple games before this pass run, they weren't scoring at
all. I don't see LA scoring four goals.
How awkward do you think that first practice was after that closed door meeting or players only meeting, whatever the hell you want to call it?
Less or more awkward than the New England practice after.
You know,
it'd
be interesting
7-0.
to see if
that's a legit question. Yeah. Which one's more awkward?
Let's go ask Jay Heaps. He doesn't have a job.
You know, if this is lost, right? What would be interesting if Ziggy puts on some of his younger guys, who, by the way, were ironically
that's
the only
I'm
guys
thinking.
To stick around after the press conference and talk to the press because the older guys, you know,
I said they might just be like, screw it.
We're smart and left.
But, I don't have to be here.
But you know, maybe he just starts playing around to see who's going to perform. Why does Jermaine Jones have to be in this match?
Yeah, maybe he won't be.
He's going to
match.
Why?
To your point,
it's already
Jay,
lost. They already said the season's lost.
If you say publicly the season is lost, I think the fans, too,
maybe
would want
Jones
to see
the
younger
Jones is the first one on the chopping block. He would get rid of this guy.
Or he might not even want to play. I mean, who knows? And they as you mentioned, the young players.
If you have players that don't want to play, that's a
whole
different
issue. Just send
him
to Bruce early.
Issues.
Be like, Bruce.
That means everything Ziggy Smith just said, it went in one ear, out the other.
Jones is
going to
show up with his backpack at
training
camp.
Based on the results, that might
be. At U.S. men's training camp, like a month earlier, say, I know that I'm not on the squad, but can I hang here? Because Ziggy doesn't want me around.
Can I hang
anymore.
Out? Jay Heap's back there, too.
It's very
guys,
awkward.
Can I just,
it's very
can I just
awkward
hang
right
out?
Now. Yeah.
All right,
the supporters are standing outside my house.
Yeah.
They want to know why I keep getting sent off in critical matches.
All right. So for those watching on the Facebook Live feed, again, if you're listening to the podcast and haven't seen us on the Facebook Live, every time we record. Oh, we also go Facebook Live on Dirty South Soccer Facebook page. So I'm going to go through some of these questions real quick that some people threw out. Can Joseph still win the Golden Boot? I think we said yes.
Absolutely.
He's three games behind Villa. Villa's just coming back from a hamstring injury. We know how that can be. Ironically, it's a hamstring after Joseph was out, so I think it's pretty ironic.
Yeah.
So, I think he can win it for sure.
And you look at the position Atlanta United's in the table, needing to get a few points to clinch a spot in the playoff.
At this point, I'm convinced now he's going to get it.
No, the Dread God.
No, that's different. That's different. I'm not openly mocking the next opponent we're about to play.
I think he totally could. What are the odds on him winning? That might be a good
I don't know, but
good little bet in Vegas.
You think he's going to at the very least average about one goal a game?
Yeah. And you're playing at home all the time?
Even if he averaged... whatever the amount of games, he would still end up averaging at the end of the season above one goal.
Oh my God, what a season!
So if he averaged .90 right in it for the rest of the season, he would still be above one goal per 90 minutes. And he might even be above one with penalties not included, depending on how it goes. Because he's like 1.14 when you take out penalties. Yeah. He's still above 1.0 when you remove the penalties. And the real stats that take into consideration, you have to have 1,000 minutes or whatever, and he's only had 945 or something.
And he missed 3 months.
So
unbelievable.
But after LA Galaxy, he will officially register for MLS statistics for the official goals per 90.
He could.
With no penalties.
Okay.
He could.
He could totally do it.
Put that science in your brain, baby.
How well the rest of the season goes for him. Let's just assume he's average the rest of the season. He could run away with the Golden Boot. And
he could have one leg and hop away with
still
it.
Still missed 3 months of the season.
He's going to have one Golden Boot. Yep. He's just going to he'll finish it with one leg.
And you look at it, Villa on 19, Valeri
just
18.
Put him in a gyro spin.
Nikolic 18, Kamara and Martinez.
Say what you will about those players. And they're all great players. They're not Joseph Martinez.
Let me tell you about this. So MLS.
By the way, before you go.
Another Twitter battle.
Anyone on the Facebook Live feed, if you want to throw some questions our way, we'll take the next 5 minutes or so and answer your questions.
Them.
Go ahead.
Throw them at us. So I went on Twitter, and Jay Stuccio, who's writes for SB Nation, the NYCFC bit. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, it's their Dirty South Soccer.
Yeah,
so MLS put out an article, and of course, very tauntingly put the only quote they put, I think it was Parkhurst or somebody, that said that he's the best player in the league right now. and put that as the header of the article. Now, of course, 99% of the article was nobody said that.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
one
just
line.
One quote,
and so,
yeah.
like, all the NYCFC fans start going, yeah. what? David Villa, what? Goat? So I had a gift battle with Jay over that, with Joseph Martinez gifts. And I'm now realized that we do not have enough Joseph Martinez gifts. So I've made about 27
good,
of them
good,
last
good,
night.
Good, good, good.
We're just going to fill it up.
What do you do with your spare time?
That's I don't have
not
spare time.
Atlanta United
I'm
related.
Making gifts.
I don't have spare time. I'm making
gift machine.
Gifts. I don't have time.
I am contributing back to the fan base. Thank you very much. Next time you see a Joseph, look up Joseph Martinez and Giphy in a week or two. Okay.
One more thing, if
we're
I can.
We have way more than David Villa
on Martinez. We kind of mentioned that top five. He's to me the best setup of any of those guys to continue his goal scoring run. Villa's coming off the hamstring injury.
Well, he's
Valeri's possible.
Now scored eight consecutive, but
Nikolic,
he's a one goal guy.
See, but
you know?
Valeri, that's going to end.
Yeah.
At some point, that's going to end.
And he's an
he's
assist
a poacher.
Guy. Yeah. Nikolic, to me, Chicago's falling apart. His best football is behind him.
Yeah.
And Ola Kamara is a solid number nine. I mean, Columbus have to win games to get into the playoffs. But to me, I look at this list of five, and Martinez is the best setup to go on a great run to finish the season, because his team needs to win to move up the table. You're playing games at home. You're playing a lot of weaker defenses at home as
he's
well.
Supported so better.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to hurt Joseph is if Miggy starts poaching goals.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Joseph taking all the penalties the rest of the season, right?
Oh, goodness.
Got to get him on that
golden
boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, until he misses.
Plus, he takes a beautiful penalty. But, yeah, keep him happy with respect to the golden
boat. What other questions these people have?
Patrick Hansel talking about any word on Garza.
No.
No.
Come back later. I won't be here, but you can come back.
You know,
later.
With muscle injuries, it's often a day-to-day type thing. And when he feels better, he'll feel better. Hopefully, it'll be sooner rather than later. But I wonder if we see McCann again. That would bring who is the left back tomorrow.
Honestly, if this is the way Garza can get some rest, I'm all for it.
Me too.
Against Galaxy?
Me too.
Yeah,
I'm good. 100%.
Back from Montreal.
Yeah.
Someone asked about when you'll start wearing sleeves.
So
was that me?
If they stop making,
if you don't know who Jay Riddle is, he's the dude with the awesome.
That's
fiery
how someone recognized
Atlanta
you.
United
the very
tattoo.
Annoying tattoo.
That's how that dude
right
recognized
side.
You from
people
our
are so sick of this.
Our live Facebook feed is obviously the
like, get this out of my face.
What do you, what do you hear? Like on a serious note, what do you hear from non-Atlanta United fans about the tattoo?
So, or I had some fun Orlando banter. You could tell they just gave up because this one guy was like, "Yeah, nice." Fire. And then he just kind of gave a shrug. He just gave up. He was like, I don't even know.
I got nothing else. Nice.
Nice fire tattoo.
That sounds like a compliment.
I don't know. So that's the only thing
what
I got.
Going on?
That's the only shtick I've gotten from it. Was from an
fire?
Orlando fan, which I take about as seriously as that baby in that terminal. I'm not afraid of you, baby. So we're fifth place in the Eastern Conference. We have a 9-game unbeaten streak taking place. We are now this is critical because if you think about it, home teams historically have about a 13-3 record. Yeah, 13-3 record in the knockout round since the current playoff format started in 2013. I know there's a silly article out there by 442 talking about MLS talking about changing the playoffs next year. We know that's not going to happen. That's just clickbait. So ignore it. This is the way it is today as well. So very critical. I think Tata said it best. He wanted 9 points before Saturday to feel comfortable. We just need 8 more. If we get 6 in the next 2, that puts us 2 away from potentially locking. We may lock it before then, but you know that's where Tata's head's at.
And we've discussed how great it would be to get a bye in the first round, I think, and get the top probably second, assuming Toronto finishes first.
Right. We locked in our predictions.
Right. I think realistically, Atlanta United should be shooting for the third or fourth spot, and you host that home playoff game.
Realistically.
Yeah, I think you go for third or fourth.
Dude, they're still well within reach at NYCFC.
Oh, absolutely, but
well
I don't. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but my prediction, realistically, because you'd have to go on a great run to catch them. It's doable. I think it's very, very plausible, unless something really goes wrong, to at least be hosting a home playoff game in the first round.
I think the game against Montreal for Atlanta United is going to be a big one.
Yeah, and if you get 3 points there,
I think it's over.
We had a lot of favors.
You got to win there.
Yeah. We had a lot of favors this weekend.
Next two games, I think, are must wins, honestly.
New York Red Bulls were drew 0-0 with Philadelphia Union, I think.
Yep.
Montreal dropped points at home. So we had
New York Jew in Colorado.
Right. So we had a number of gifts. Those will not continue to happen, most likely.
Right.
But we have to beat Montreal. We have to beat Montreal. So trap game Wednesday. Then Montreal.
What's the knock for it? It is a trap game.
I know.
And you've tempted the Dread God.
It's too late.
It's and the Raccoon Witch.
This is like a double negative type thing. I'm, he knocked on wood.
I'm knocking on ceramic. I don't even know what that means.
Before we wrap it up, I guess.
That was for my plastic homies in Orlando.
Go off course a little bit. How good is that Atlanta United and Minnesota United game looking? As a, like, take away your fandom for a second.
Yeah.
As a neutral, how good is that game looking right now?
It's my loon.
I mean, that's I mean, we host them, and
I mean, I know that they're. I mean, they're not going to the playoffs, and as far as we're concerned, they're
can
terrible.
Imagine if the loons rain on our parade.
No.
Can we make it snow that game?
Can we
just artificial snow is bring it in?
Have we had snow in September before?
Why not?
I guess now it's like October.
I'll still
actually
be wearing no sleeves. By the way,
that would be the real question: is if you
yeah, when are you when
up?
Are you going? When
I'm
you
originally
sleeves on?
I'm originally I lived in New England for like 10 years, so and in New York, so
you're not putting sleeves on.
So my if it's above 50 degrees, I'm not I can rock it with no problem. So yeah,
not only that that Minnesota game you go to New England the Saturday before and then play Minnesota on Tuesday. So you
no
might
coach.
Be getting a nice little goal
a
difference.
Coachless,
yeah.
A coachless, heapless.
Yeah. Heapless.
Bucket of fail.
Heapless.
I just want to see that New England Twitter account again when they, you know, that guy's dreading us coming back.
He's like, please, no.
Maybe the, heaps around the Twitter,
who's
too.
Who's the guy in Super Troopers that eats all the drugs? Please, no.
He's just going to tweet out.
Schnozberries taste like schnozberries?
It's now the 17th minute.
All right, last question before we wrap it up. Jared Rector wants to know how he can get from his seat to his car in less than an hour after the game.
Zip line. Did you not know about the zip line?
I don't have a problem with traffic, ever.
I have a zip line.
Can I tell you why?
VIP.
Because you go to the Y.
I'm just kidding.
Like
I'm not that pretentious, I promise.
Yeah, so, here's how you do it. You get a press pass, and you go interview the players and leave an hour late, and then you can get right to your car with Eric.
Yeah.
I'm really not that pretentious. If they took away my press pass, I'd be upset.
No. Unless you take Lyft, in which case you can just walk out, go to the Centennial Olympic Lyft zone. You open up the app. You select the zone. They have a tent.
It's fantastic.
Wave in the cars. You're good to go. Or go and walk to the blue lot and take one from there. I didn't have.
I mean,
a problem
I don't know
either.
Why. Like, do you drive to the games, Jay?
I have because I set up tailgate, so I can park there. But I only did that on Saturday because I knew I was going to hang around for another hour and a half afterwards, and all the traffic
so
would be gone.
Out.
And
yeah.
I only live 2 miles away.
Okay, well that helps
I live
too.
On the west side. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, I would recommend driving to your nearest MARTA station and taking the MARTA, or just taking Uber
just
if you are concerned about getting out.
Just start squatting in the Georgia Dome. They can't kick you out. Just squat in the Georgia Dome. Everybody.
You may want to get out of there, though, in the near future.
I think there's pieces literally falling off, like, the outside when you look at it. It looks like something out of Katrina.
How are they going to control that explosion? That dome is very close to Mercedes-Benz.
I don't know. Just bring the LA Galaxy in there, and they know how to implode. They know
I'm
about
the same
that.
Thing, but I have no idea.
They'll give you the secret sauce. Them in New England, put them in the dome together, and that thing's just done. Boom.
I mean, the inside of it is pretty much done. Like, it's almost unrecognizable.
They started
tearing, like, there's just a bunch of rubble in the middle of where the field used to be.
Wow.
So much rubble.
So before we just continue on these tangents, any final thoughts about last Saturday, about this Wednesday, tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this?
Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, I pointed to you to go first.
Oh, were you pointing?
How defiant.
I would say with respect to
the Orlando match, for me, it was twofold. I had kind of mixed feelings. I thought for the game in Atlanta, for the game of soccer, it was an absolute spectacle. When you talk about the crowd that was there, I know there were a lot of people at their first match, and then it was just such an entertaining match. The intensity when there was great. Atlanta United have a bunch of new fans. They've definitely, again, keeping the fans that are coming this season. As far as the actual result, I was pretty disappointed. To give up 3 goals in such similar fashion against a team that you're absolutely better than is frustrating. But I still think, as Eric's mentioning, you know, it's important to realize you got another game coming right back here against an LA Galaxy team, and I'm not at all nervous about this game. I'm just going to say it, and I think Atlanta United is going to win 3-1. I think Galaxy, obviously, they're in a place like you, as we've discussed. I mean, it's public. The guys are playing for their jobs, and I think you have 5 or 6 guys there that does not motivate.
Now, the one goal, is it a we scored first, or is it a consolation goal?
Consolation goal. Consolation goal. We control the match. Yeah, let's say even if they scored it 2-1, I think we'd make it 3-1. I think it's a team, and we're starting to see more and more teams like this where their season's basically falling apart. They're not going to make the playoffs, and it'll be interesting to see how they respond. And certainly if they come out with that kind of lackadaisical veteran attitude that I've alluded to, I think things could get very, very ugly early.
Give it to me, Jay.
3-0, Atlanta United. Absolutely. I think Joseph's going to get another hat trick.
Yeah, Martinez.
I think it's in the cards. I think we're going to just blow people's minds in this one. I think
that's your like third accidental sexual innuendo. That of the podcast.
I hope that baby comes back to watch this game because his mind's going to be blown.
I'm glad that one didn't turn sexual. Oh, no.
His mind's going to be blown. No. So I don't know where you guys are going with that. So anyways, all I know is that Kyle Larin, hat trick record debut season, yoink. Thank you. We'll take that one.
Yeah.
Most fans.
Second place.
top expansion team record for attendance for an entire season. We already stole that. Thank you. Still got 5 matches left.
Enjoy second place. I love it.
Thank you. And your self-respect. Well, you took that from yourselves when you paid all that money for Don Dwyer. So peace out, Orlando. We'll see you next season.
I'm going to say, you guys remember how kind of crazy the San Jose game was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to see that kind of fight out of LA or the LA Galaxy.
Just real possibility.
Just real disorganized chaos.
At least a start. They're going to come out flying.
Yeah.
And then the game's going to get too much for them. Martinez is going to go off again. You know what? 3 in a row for Martinez.
Boom! Ooh,
well, 3 in a row for Martinez.
You heard it here
Take
first.
That, baby.
You heard it. Did you do you one of your jinxing things?
Eat it.
Are we allowed to make positive predictions? I don't know how that works.
We've moved on.
Oh, okay.
We've moved on.
I'm with you guys.
Orlando and DC United are in the rearview mirror. Their juju can't harm us anymore.
All right, Josh, where can they find you on Twitter?
JoshB914. Hit me up anytime. Jay and Eric have been showing me how to use this interesting application, Twitter.
The internet machine.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
Interesting application, Twitter.
He said he watches. I watch you guys on Twitter. Oh, I'm like, God. Don't say that. That's creepy.
He is 40 now, so.
You follow us.
I'm 32 years old for
It's called follows.
Times 8.
Follow. I follow
eight,
you.
Times
I
fo- eight.
Okay.
Jay,
hit me up
they,
on Twitter.
Jay, where can they find you?
You can find me at JAY_Riddle. I'm also on Soccer Down Here on Wednesday mornings. You can follow my 5 things I learned. I also write
Absolutely
it
hilarious.
And tweet it out. Yeah. And I'm all over the place. Look for the guy without sleeves. Probably me.
The tattoo
it is
artist.
Him.
Maybe.
Yeah. On his shoulder. You can find me, Eric G. Quintana. You can find the podcast, MOTS Podcast. Email the podcast at MOTS Podcast@gmail.com. You can donate to the podcast on Patreon. I think it's patreon.com/MOTS podcast. I think that's it. All right. Till next time, Atlanta. See you later.
See you guys.